Who win it now? Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast, every week for your ears. It is the audio version of prideofdetroit.com. Everything you need to know about the Lions, the Detroit Lions of the NFL, about their football, about their players, about the news, analysis, or just about bats, especially about the bats. But I'm Chris Lemieux. I'm on Twitter at Detroit Southern. Joining me this week, as always, the crew of fearless leader Jeremy Reisman at Detroit on Lion, who's coming to us from a remote location. His connection is going to be up and down. Jeremy, are you there with us right now? Okay. That silence means that Jeremy's not there. Okay. This is fantastic. It's wonderful. Jesus Christ. Let's go around and introduce everyone else. Alex Reno's here at Alex_Reno. What up?
How's it going, guys?
It's going all right. I see we've got Jeremy back. Can you speak, Jeremy?
Yes. Sorry about that, guys.
Are you alive?
Yeah. Barely after that game.
And finally, joining us is Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock god. With his own theme, his own entrance music to walk out. So we can now say, by God, that's Ryan Matthews' music. Are you going to, Ryan, I know you are, like, training to, like, do, like, some, like, wrestling gym thing or something.
Well, yeah,
I mean, this is a literal thing that he's doing. Explain.
As long as I have the capital to put up, I'm planning on doing some training for professional wrestling. But we're going to see how the capital thing goes.
Okay.
It's tough out here in the streets. It's cold in the D.
It's so cold.
Can you also long snap?
No, Don Molbeck can, though. He just wasn't given the opportunity to last night.
And that's what we're here to talk about. Ryan_POD there, who has, like, grown astronomically because he's harnessed the power of social media to bring you videos of stuff. I'm waiting for you to get shut down by the NFL, though. I really am.
Yeah, me too. But then again, they haven't shut down that one guy. His name, like, Josh Norris or something, who tweets, like, the really, really bad, grainy videos that have, like, audio.
Or what about that CJ Zero guy who works for, like, an SI, The Cauldron? Although he might have, like, permission
Norris
to do that.
Norris works for NBC, though, so I'm sure there's, like, some sort of agreement there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, wait, why? If he works for NBC, then why are his videos such crap?
Well, to that matter, like, can we figure this out? Because, like, SB Nation is part of Vox, and Vox has, like, a General Electric sponsorship. Like, can we? Is this what it's going to be? Okay, whatever. Anyway, let's talk about preseason game 3.
Yeah, let's talk about preseason game 3. I'm super excited.
What better way to celebrate our 50th episode with a big fucking L?
This is episode 50. I wish I had something special planned. I was really trying to figure something out. I've been, like, emailing a couple people, hopefully can get a couple guests before football starts. But all I'm saying is that we've hit 50. You guys have been bleeping with us for a full year, so thank you. It's been more than 50, too. We've had a bunch of, like, miniature podcasts. We've had interviews. We had one episode of Football Fights, which was very fun. We had that fantasy podcast. Ryan, are we going to do that again sometime?
When it comes time to care about fantasy football, which is quickly approaching.
Yeah, definitely.
Week 3 of the preseason has me excited for fantasy football. That's how down I am right now about Detroit Lions.
I was listening to the WJR Lions Radio Network feed, and instead of actually, like, talking about the game and post-game, they were talking about fantasy football.
Perfect. Let's just hijack. You know what, Chris? Let's hijack this episode 50 of the podcast, and turn it into our fantasy football podcast.
I don't even know what to
talk about. Alex, is this an intervention to give me the play?
Yeah, Alex, go get your mom. Jeremy, you can leave.
Okay, but no, for real. Preseason game 3. Again, it's preseason, guys. It's practice.
It is, but you were saying last night you're a little worried about this team now.
Worried. I am worried because it's like it's the same structural problems. And if it was just a vanilla offense, I would be fine with it. But it's like what have we been talking about all offseason? Linebackers. What's going to happen if we don't get this figured out? They're going to get ripped apart over the middle, dinked and dunked to death. And what happened last night? Same as the week before. Dink and dunk, 5 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards, 5 yards, 7 yards, just over and over and over again.
The problem is that, sorry, go ahead, Jeremy.
I was just going to say, I feel like in part that's kind of what Terrell Austin's defense has really been with us. Aside from, you know, we were dominant in the run game in 2014, but otherwise, like, it was just don't get beat by the big play. And the defense made a lot of big plays, too. That's what we're not seeing in the preseason. The Lions only, I think, have 2 forced turnovers, and they both came, like, late in the game by guys that probably aren't even going to be starting. So,
right, and I've always been resistant to the idea of bend, don't break, though. So I've never been as hot up. Like, everyone was talking for a while about Terrell Austin being the head coach, and again, I was just looking at them like, why? Why?
But to me, like the idea of bend don't break is to like basically force as many third downs as possible because at some point the offense is going to mess it up.
That's cool. That's cool. But the problem is they weren't forcing any third downs last night. And actually, hold up. I need to pull up my scorecard now because I'm pretty sure the Bengals did pretty well on third down conversions. To be honest,
I feel like they did too.
The Bengals definitely didn't do as well on third down.
Right.
The Ravens certainly did.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm still definitely worried about the defense. I think we're a little the biggest concern to me is just the depth because I really like the first string offensive or defensive line. I think they have a lot to go on there, but once those reserves kind of come in, I'm not sure what they're going to look like
on the defensive line.
Yeah.
I was kind of impressed with A'shaun and Kyrie Thornton last night. I thought they did a pretty good job of generating some pressure up the middle.
Were they the second team out there?
Yeah, they're the second group who came out. Yeah. Okay. Kyrie Thornton and A'shaun. And I don't know. They were also giving a lot of like looks to, some other players because, Zeke didn't come out initially on that first or on that second drive, and they brought in Kerry Hyder to play some defensive end with him and Wallace Gilberry, and then Devin Taylor rotated in, and then even Copeland was in there with, you know, like the first team defense. So they gave a lot of people looks last night, and I think I'm definitely more sold on the defensive tackle depth because I think that there's just plenty of it on this team. But when it comes to the defensive ends, that's where it might get a little bit shaky. The areas of concern are definitely the linebackers and kind of the not even the depth at corner. But I mean, Nevin Lawson got picked on pretty fairly last night.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I thought he did okay. Like he bounced back
well.
Yeah, he gave up 2 catches early, and then I think he had a pass breakup and forced another incompletion. So he wasn't really bad per se, but I think we're definitely going to see that happen a lot more going forward, those teams trying to pick on Nevin Lawson, trying to pick on the shorter guy. So he's going to have a challenge.
Yeah, I don't... Oh, sorry. Go on, Jeremy.
I was just going to say, and I lost a little bit of faith in Darren Wallace last night, too. He seemed to be having a really good camp and a couple good preseason games, but he got picked on as soon as he kind of jumped in the game, both by, I think, a little bit by Flacco and who's a backup last night? I tried to blank yesterday.
Ryan Mallett.
Yeah. That's a name I've
Michigan.
Tried to
Michigan
many
had.
Times.
Michigan was just abusing. UMich was abusing. The Lions last night between that and Jake Rudock's 0-6. It was not a good night for our UMich and Lions combo fans out there. But yeah. So that's the defense right there. Right. We're worried not as much about the defensive line, but everything else has kind of given us a little bit of pause because it's like this was the dress rehearsal. You got DeAndre Levy back too. That was always the big thing. It was like, okay, we're gonna have DeAndre Levy back, and then the linebackers will fix themselves, and it didn't happen.
Well, with that being said, though, too, I mean, this was like DeAndre Levy's like first I guess, being healthy in over a year. So I guess you expected some rust to get knocked off and all the other cliches that you can talk about a, you know, player coming back from injury. But I thought that he looked better, like, as the game went on. I mean, there was the play early on where he kind of looked, maybe he got a little bit lost in coverage. And but then he had his nose in a lot at the line of scrimmage making plays.
I guess my point just overall would be, like, we spent the entire offseason kind of hyping up a little bit. And I'm just kind of like, I don't really see that hype right now.
Well, to me, defensively, it comes down to their playmakers, right? Like, they have a playmaker basically on each level. And, it's hard to evaluate the entire defense when they're not playing with these guys for 75% of the game. Like, Ansa played 28% of the game. How much did...
Tahir Whitehead came out pretty early, too, because of the stinger.
Yeah, I think he jumped back in there. So he played about half the game. Darius Slade, 41% of the snaps. Glover Quinn, 49%. So those are guys that are going to be getting 100% of the snaps, only playing half the game. So, you know, and someone in the comment section pointed something out that's got me feeling a little bit hopeful. This was like a 6-3 game with 5 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah.
That's not a disaster. I mean, and that's about the time when you see guys coming out. So... things, yeah, they went really bad very quickly after that. You know, Stafford threw a pick. I think the Ravens scored touchdowns on back-to-back possessions.
They were
after
all
that.
Scoring him with Ryan Mallett, but
yeah, but I mean, once your starters are out there, you're judging on an individual basis, not on a team basis. At least that's how you should be.
Well, like I said, the other thing too, though, is that, like, at the beginning of the second half, you had defensive linemen who might not even make the team rotating in and playing defensive end. And they were also trying out a lot of things, too. Like, I noticed that Wallace Gilberry, he kicked in and played defensive tackle for a snap or two. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're tinkering with a lot of things. And like you said, Chris, I don't know. I think it's practice. At the end of the day, you want to call it a dress rehearsal. It's still just practice to me.
Right, and
it's practice at game speed.
It is to me too, but I guess I have my reservations, is what I'm saying. Well, I just want to know if my reservations are justified.
I share your reservations on offense because this is like the fifth offseason in a row where we've been promised, like, wow, this offense looks really good. They've got this up tempo thing looking. They got Stafford looking perfect in practice, and they laid a huge egg, and those were the starters for the most part the entire first half.
Yeah, and right? The argument always against that is like, oh, they're only showing vanilla stuff because they don't want to tip their hand until the regular season. But it's like, okay, but they're not good at the vanilla stuff.
Yeah,
and they even sent the offensive line out for the second half, and Dan Orlovsky was getting pressured, so that's pretty big concern for me.
Yeah, like, I just there's certain points that have still remained a concern for me. And again, it's the defensive backfield and the offensive line. And it's like, at least in preseason, you want to see some promise. You want to see some areas. It's kind of like, okay, these are going to get, you know, better as these units practice more and more. And I just, again, I know it's preseason. I know it's preseason. They're trying stuff out, but I have concerns. I have questions. What about you guys? Anything else that you have questions about?
Tight end?
I have a question.
When are we going to get one of those?
Yeah.
Did
Colwick really hurt himself with that holding call? Like, Amir Abdullah was clean for the house, and then Colwick decided to hold that guy.
Colwick is hurting himself anytime he is not catching a ball in the passing game because he is not a good blocker. It just hurts me when he's out there and they're not throwing the ball to him.
I mean, it's what we've been saying for weeks now. It's like, it's going to be very predictable with the tight ends if it's Colwick and Matthew Mulligan moving forward. Why haven't, and speaking of that, we still haven't seen Corliss.
Yeah, he had 9 snaps yesterday.
Only nine.
So I don't know what's going on. Maybe they're just kind of easing him in and they're going to hit him really hard in that last preseason games to kind of, you know, basically be a tryout for him personally. But I mean, it doesn't look like currently that he's part of their plans. Maybe he just needs to catch up, though.
Let me do something here real quick. And we're just put in a quick break right here, and we're just going to continue on this conversation.
this question just kind of came to me while we were talking about the bend but don't break defense. Do you think that it's really not going to gel well with the up-tempo offense? Like, maybe we're going to have some quick three and outs in our defense, since it's kind of like the bend but don't break, they're just going to be out there way too long.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the problem. I mean, it's not a problem with the up tempo, but I would say it's a problem with how NFL attempts to implement it. The whole point of being up tempo is that it's not good enough just to be fast. You also have to be efficient. You have to make a lot of first downs so you stay on the field and grind down the other defense, and you've got to put together longer drives. Like,
You know what the key to that is? A running game.
Yeah. but a lot of teams in the NFL, and this was kind of Chip Kelly's downfall, is like, okay, we're going to try to play a West Coast offense, but we're just going to do it up tempo. And what ends up happening is either like you get stopped on third down too much, and just because like you did three plays really fast, you get off the field a lot faster. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense, because you're not allowing the defense to substitute players. They're not able to roll out the packages they want to roll out.
And then they can't get off the field as a result. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I mean, it presents problems. Like, I agree with kind of what Alex is saying. I mean, you could run into problems just by proximity if you're running this up-tempo offense and, you know, there's so many three and outs and your defense constantly keeps on getting back on the field. And, you know, who knows? You run a three and out, and your long snapper can't get the ball to the punter because he can't long snap for shit. So you run into a whole other set of problems right there.
You really want to talk about this? Yeah, no. Like, there's no problem with the up tempo in theory. It's about how it's executed, and the fact of the matter is a lot of pro coaches just are really bad at executing the up tempo.
Well, that's something that Stafford said in one of his press conferences. They asked him about, you know, running the up tempo style, and he said, It doesn't matter if you can't execute. At the end of the day, yeah. It doesn't matter if you can't execute the offense, then no huddle does nothing.
Yeah, it sounds like quarterback speech in that case, but it's absolutely
true.
It's incredibly true. Like, if your offense isn't good enough to efficiently make those first downs reliably, then going up tempo will do nothing except just get the ball out of your hands faster.
Right, and I think we also have to keep in mind that this isn't something the Lions are going to be doing all the time. Both Jim Caldwell and Jim Bob Cooter made sure to make that clear. Like, this is just something they're going to use when they feel like they have the right matchup. So maybe they think their wide receivers are quicker than their corners. So like a bubble screen game where they're throwing the ball out real quick, getting to the line really quick, and then doing it again, that sort of thing. If they can spread out a defense like that and see success, then they'll move to a quick up-tempo
offense. As a guy who really enjoys up-tempo and a lot of college and high school systems, like spread offenses, pistol, and everything else, like, I believe you should be running it all the time. But again, it just keeps coming back to the fact it's like, if you just don't have the personnel to execute, you can't execute. And I don't know if going other than up-tempo, if going standard is any better, because again, like, those same problems are just going to be there for you. You're just going to be inefficient on offense.
I do think the up-tempo works a little bit better with the guys that the Lions have. I mean, the Lions certainly aren't going to be a pro-style offense where they're just going to, you know, Jim Harbaugh man-ball you down the throat.
They can't. They have no one to run, and they don't have an offensive line.
Exactly. So I think in that sense, the up-tempo stuff makes a lot of sense. Well, but I just don't know if – I mean, the Lions just weren't executed. They were dropping passes.
You say that too,
but the passes were off. Like when you play like that, up-tempo is not going to do anything.
Well, at the same time too, a lot of college systems, when they go up-tempo or they do a spread offense too, like, they run a specific style of blocking on the offensive line as well. And I don't think that's been adapted to the NFL yet.
Well, like, that's something that I wanted to ask Alex about. I'm not sure if you'll have the answer, but the one play that had a lot of success running the football, aside from, you know, Theo Riddick's play was nice, but he probably should have got tackled 5 yards after his run, but he did, you know, make a nice play to spin off the defender and break it off for a big chunk of yardage. But the play that I liked the most last night was clearly like a zone run where Abdullah gained 11 yards. And there was so much talk about Jim Bob Cooter's like power run system. And I don't know where the disconnect is. And I'm not sure too much about, like, you know, if this team is equipped to, you know, power block like that. or if the zone run is something that's going to be more adaptive and more, you know, it's going to be more, you know, beneficial for this, you know, offensive line as it is, you know, constituted as it is right now.
And to that credit, like, zone blocking is a big thing for spread offenses in college to just make those holes. But go ahead, Alex. Sounds like you've got an answer here.
Yeah, that was the run that kind of shocked me the most, because I thought that with Lombardi gone and Jim Bob Cooter taking over, that we would do a lot more power running or gap blocking or whatever you want to call it, because I don't know, maybe me and Ryan disagree, but I think that Tomlinson, Warford, Swanson, pretty much our entire offensive line is more equipped to the power blocking, and we're not as good as zone blocking. Like, the zone blocking last year looked atrocious, so I was pretty shocked to even see us open up a huge hole for Amir Abdullah to have that 11-yard run.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, zone blocking makes a lot of sense if you're going to kind of move to that up-tempo offense, but like you said, it was a disaster last year. And I mean, but we haven't really seen much better out of the running game this year in the preseason, albeit, but I don't know. I don't know if this is more just a basic offensive lineman not being able to grasp certain concepts or what it is, but.
Right. And it also comes down to Amir Abdullah too, because he's probably a much better zone runner than a power runner. So, yeah. I mean, the thing about zone running too is it just takes reps. I mean,
mm-hmm. And that's something that Amir hasn't had this preseason.
Exactly. Like, the more you do it, maybe we will turn into a better zone running team, despite our offensive line not really being that athletic, as Mathbaum or Kent Lee Plott has pointed out in the past. I think I pretty much talked all I could about the scheme stuff.
Well, I heard Ryan starting to veer into it before we got caught up talking about up-tempo and schemes for running.
What was I talking about?
Long snapper watch 2016.
Oh, yeah.
I know that there's probably a lot of people listening at home that who are wondering, like, why do you guys care so much about a long snapper? But
it's kind of important.
The mule dozer.
It's more than just the mule dozer. Like, trust me, I want that guy to have a job. I don't want anybody to lose a job. At the end of the day, I don't want to see Jimmy Landis lose his job, but
it's kind of the nature of this sport.
Exactly. He doesn't want to hand it to him either, really.
Right. Like, you should not just be handed the job because you were the 6th-round pick. That's not how it works. The NFL is a competitive, you know, job market, and if you do your job better than the next person, then you get the job. That's just how it works, and that's usually how it works in any job in life.
And Landis was having bad snaps.
Like, I gotta bite my tongue for a second, but I don't understand how you could see any of the snaps that the snaps that were bad. I don't know how you can misconstrue them as being fine, because they weren't fine. They were high, they were short, and they were in the dirt. And it wasn't just the fact that they were mentioning it on the broadcast. You know, Spielman talked about it a little bit, and so did Shepard. But, you know, Landis came off the field after one of his, like, later snaps in the game, and he was visibly frustrated and upset with himself because he knew that he was not doing a good job.
Right. And what was that really big one? It's like he snapped it back low into the dirt. And
for the,
like,
field goal attempt?
Yeah.
The 52-yarder?
And, like, the placeholder was, like, really trying to get it set up, and Prater ended up, like, doinking it off the upright.
Yeah, the Prater, one that he missed, I think that snap, the one that he missed, actually was a little high and, like, into
okay, I might
the
be
holders,
up,
like,
yeah.
almost his face mask. That was a pretty bad snap. That
it was still a bad snap. I just got the two mixed up. Yeah.
No, that was a bad snap.
Yeah, and I think people get caught up with snaps like, well, you know, he caught it, it's fine, like, well, bad snap has, like, a lot of things that can go wrong because of it. It messes up the timing of the kicker. It gives the defense a little more time to get to it. And, you know, it also doesn't give the holder enough time to necessarily have the ball where he wants it to be.
Yeah, this is kind of like, you know, Jim Price on the Tigers broadcast, always about the art of pitching. This is the art of kicking we're talking about here. The kicker is in motion by the time that thing is snapped. There is no, like, wait until it gets set up for a kicker in the NFL. It is basically, you are expecting that snap to get set up by the placeholder, laces out, everything to be perfect and crisp for you so you can kick it. And, you know, the problem is that if a kick goes bad, we just focus on the kicker and not the placeholder or the long snapper usually.
Yeah, and if you have an inconsistent long snapper, you're basically putting the holder on his heels and, like, just setting up a disaster waiting to happen, like a Tony Romo situation.
I'm glad you didn't point to any other bad long snapping in football history.
I mean,
or a Michigan situation.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not even talking about that. I was thinking about a bunch of other college situations where it's, again, it's like a snapper puts it in the dirt, or it's like a placeholder, like, does not go laces out and it just veers completely off target. Like, there's a lot, like, kicking is an underappreciated part of the game. I know it's not exactly one's favorite part of the game, but it is still a big part of it. And,
I mean, all the aspects of kicking, punting, you know, field goal attempts, they're all incredibly important. And I think the biggest thing is that nobody really remembers or nobody notices until something goes wrong, right?
Yeah, the only time they really notice the kicker if it's like a 60-yarder to win the game or something.
Right.
Or like what you're talking about, when it goes wrong, that poor, awful Vikings kicker in the playoffs last year. What was his name?
Blair Walsh.
Poor Blair Walsh shanking that thing completely to the side.
Shout out to the Asian Vikings fans.
or Devin Bell last night, who kicked a knuckleball that probably went like maybe like 20 feet in the air and like landed 15 yards short of the goalposts.
It's just a really thankless job. Like,
the look on Jim Caldwell's face after that kick, he was just like, what the hell just happened? I'm glad I have another week of this guy kicking and punting for my team in the second half.
By the way, everyone talking about Caldwell being a stone face. I don't know. Maybe it's because the Lions are driving him insane, but I've seen plenty of just anger out of him.
We're just seeing him slowly lose it.
He needs a system reboot pretty soon.
I believe the cynics call that becoming lionized.
Oh god.
But let me get back to Long Snapper Watch for a second.
What the people want.
And then we gotta move on to other things. I'm not giving you guys a whole segment on long snappers.
Well, we should.
But you absolutely are.
I'm curious as to what you guys think the Lions strategy was yesterday. Was it, all right, Jimmy Landis is our guy, let's give him all of the long snapping snaps, and it backfired on them because he looked really bad? Or do you think maybe Don Muehlbach is going to get all the snaps in Thursday's game and then just they'll each have a game on tape?
I think Muehlbach at this point, it's like, you know what you have, so let's just see what you have in Landis. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work out, just go to Muehlbach. Is it Muehlbach or Muehlbach?
Either one.
I've heard his name so many times, I've always just said Muehlbach, but
I say Mule, but it doesn't matter.
You say Mule, and I think too much of Johan Franzen.
Yeah, nobody wants to think of that. But I totally agree with you, Chris. I think that yesterday or Saturday night, they definitely just wanted to see what they had in Landis. So they gave him every opportunity that he could, and I want to say that at least four of the snaps were bad. And to have four snaps that were bad...
You can't be inconsistent at long snapper. You cannot be inconsistent at long snapping.
You can't. Here's
what I imagined happened. I think you probably had a meeting between Jim Caldwell and Bob Quinn where Jim Caldwell said, hey, we need to cut Jimmy Landis right now. He is a very bad long snapper. And Bob Quinn was like, no, you know what? I drafted this guy with a 6th-round pick. Just give him the whole game. If he's inconsistent or if he has a couple bad snaps, then we can cut him on Tuesday. At least that's what I just have implanted in my head right now, and I want to believe that.
So I hate to do these predictions because we are putting this podcast out on Monday, and he could be cut by the time you're listening to this podcast. He could be cut by tomorrow. Like, what do you think happens with between Landis and Muehlbach, because they're only going to carry one long snapper?
Yeah, and
they should.
And Landis is not going on the practice squad. That would be completely idiotic, if you ask me. You don't put a long snapper on the practice squad.
Yeah.
unless you invest a 6-round pick in him.
I mean, you could just bring him back. I doubt he's going to get.
People were mad at the idea that the Lions spend a 6-round pick on this kid, but at the same time, it's like, I think I said this on the Facebook Live. What else are you going to do with that 6-round pick? Like, once you get past,
they had three too.
Yeah,
they had, like, three 6-rounders.
Once you get past like the fifth, like the fourth rounds, like anything else you draft is kind of expendable. Like, if, I mean, we, no one's, everyone's fine with thinking about if Dwayne Washington gets cut, and he was a 7th round pick. Where's the outrage about they're going to cut a 7th rounder? Like, just because it arbitrarily goes between 6th and 7th, there's different outrage. I think it's
because of the position.
Maybe.
I think it's the same kind of outrage that people have about Aguayo being a 2nd round pick as a kicker and not performing.
To me, that's completely different though, because that's a 2nd rounder.
But to put a 2nd round kicker against a 6-round long snapper, like I think the difference in like importance between those two positions is incredible. But yeah. Still, like I you don't see too many teams spend draft picks on.
Special teams, exclusive players.
Well, I would even say that like more teams will draft like a kicker in like the 6th or 7th round, or, you know, oftentimes they'll go undrafted, but at least you'll see them spend 6th or 7th rounders. You don't see teams draft long snappers. Like, you just don't see that. Yeah. But my answer is Jimmy Landis gets cut, and we all rejoice.
The age of Mulbach continues. Him and Dan Orlovsky still holding down the glorious year of 2008 with this Lions roster. And don't kid yourself. I think, you know, we talked about it last podcast, but Jake Rudock, 0-6, is not going to really help his case. I think he's destined for the practice squad. I was hearing Tim Twentyman talking about how the Lions might go 3 quarterbacks, but that kind of seems like a, I mean, there's weight to it. Well, there's weight to that because, again, Twentyman is like, that's Lions.com. It's kind of like implied that's kind of an official voice speaking, but. Yeah, I agree with you. There's really no reason to have three. We talked about this last time. There's no reason to have 3 quarterbacks on the roster.
I just don't like having a 3rd guy being your rookie yet either. Like, on the practice squad, he's going to be there in practice. He's going to be getting reps. He's going to learn stuff. You just don't want that guy to be your emergency quarterback on game day. If the Lions are in such a predicament that they're
he's not even dressed no matter what.
Right. That's true.
So he can't even be your emergency.
Yeah, right. Like, what, like, for me, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the practice squad being useful, developing, instead of just a place of squirrel guys, like, you know, which seems to be the case in a lot too much of the NFL, but, yeah, so.
But this is the thing, though. It's not just 20 men. I saw Justin Rogers' 53-man prediction, and he also thinks that Rudock is going to make the team. So this is something that's gaining traction amongst all the beat writers.
Well, yeah, and it did. And it'll continue to do so while Orlovsky struggles, because a lot of people, I mean, Chris has said this before, you know, when you're talking about a backup quarterback or a 3rd string quarterback, you're really talking about like one step up. So when you're saying you want to keep Rudock around as a 3rd string quarterback, you're really saying, you know, he should really probably be the 2nd string. And if you're talking about a backup quarterback, you're probably talking about him eventually taking over as starter, which I don't think
we had
most sane people are saying about.
Well, Rudock, we did have a guy on our Facebook Live last night also saying that we should trade Stafford to Dallas because of the Romo injury. But
they don't need him. They got Dak, baby.
The age of Dak is upon us.
Wait, are we trading Stafford for Dak?
No, we're
I'd do that.
I think it was for picks, but I you know, no, I would do that too. Dax,
are you kidding me?
Hold Hell on. Yeah, baby.
If you're being serious, say
that was Chris Lemieux. This is not a visual medium. You cannot see the people whose mouths are moving, and sometimes our voices might get misconstrued.
And you just raised a beer to try to affirm your.
I was raising a beer as an excuse for my joke, my poor joke.
Oh, okay. So besides quarterback and long snapper, wow, no one. This offseason, this preseason is spectacular. Look at the positions we're talking about.
Long snapper and 3rd string quarterback.
Here's the thing that I think people need to keep in mind, period. And it's not like there's nothing to be gained from the preseason or anything like that. It's that teams improve throughout the year. And that's where you're really going to see whether a team can make a playoff run or not. So, yeah, I think the Lions are pretty bad right now, regardless of whether it's the preseason or not. But they have a lot of young guys in positions where
they're going to be the kind of heart of the team in the future. So you got guys like Miles Killebrew, you've got guys like Joe Dahl, you've got guys like Graham Glasgow, who aren't going to be part of this team right away. But as the team improves and they kind of feel more comfortable in the NFL, this team's going to get better.
Shit, we just keep talking about it. Even with the offensive line, Riley Reiff is the oldest person on that first string line at 27.
Yeah, Taylor Decker is going to suck this year. I'm sorry. All offensive tackles suck in their rookie year.
Yeah, and look at just case to point. Look how much better Laken Tomlinson is kind of showing himself in the second year versus what he was, which was just a flaming bag in his rookie year.
Well, I think even in the Baltimore game, Decker looked better than he looked in the two games prior to that.
Yeah, I didn't see him getting beat around the edge completely.
I totally agree with Jeremy that your offensive tackles, generally as rookies, they're not going to be very good, but it's at least a good sign that he's showing, you know, growth and development, baby steps with Taylor Decker.
Yeah, keep in mind that rookie offensive tackles rarely ever have a good year, their rookie year. I mean, like, just going off of Pro Football Focus grades, I mean, we can all take that with a grain of salt, but there was maybe one out of eight for, like, let's just say eight offensive tackles that were rookies, like probably one out of eight had a positive grade. Like there was just so many offensive tackles that were atrocious. So, I mean, we just have to give them time.
And it's so tough. Like I know the Lions decided to go with Decker on the left side and Reiff on the right, but playing on the left side of the line and the right side of the line are, they're literally two different things. Like everything is different. Like your plant foot is different. There's so many things that you have to change about your game. So you see teams like Miami who drafted, you know, Laremy Tunsil, and they won't put him at right tackle because they don't want him playing on the right side. They don't want to put him at left tackle because they have Brandon Albert. So they just put him at left guard. Yeah, the Dolphins literally have an entire offensive line consisting of left tackles. And it's been an awful experiment. So you have to be patient with your tackles.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing for a while. And to be honest, like, I don't think this is a 1 year get back and suddenly you're back in the playoffs thing. Even though this team, like, and with all NFL teams, they're going to try as hard as hell as they can to win every game. And that's why Stafford isn't getting traded. But, like, at the same time, as hard as you're trying this year, I think we all kind of realize that this is going to be a work in progress for at least this season and probably next season, too. Especially when it comes to the offensive line.
I know this sounds like hedging our bets after a bad preseason game, but I'm completely with you. I think this is a long-term project. And like I was saying, we have a lot of youth in positions that are going to be important down the road, but they're just not ready yet. Like the fact that we drafted, you know, 10 guys, and I'm really only expecting two to really contribute meaningful anything this year. Like that goes to show you, like, this is a long-term build, and it might have some rough goings early on, and it's hard to preach patience to a Lions fandom that has been waiting 60 years. But
I don't give a damn. That's what happens when you blow up the team. I know, but I don't give a damn about the people waiting 60 years. I keep hearing that all the time. It's like, these fans have been waiting 60 years. We're tired of waiting. It's like, yeah, you might be tired of waiting, but nothing is going to make this process go any fucking faster. Like, this is just how football is. You screw up, you have your best shot, and the best shot for the Lions was kind of that team between 2011 and 2013. That was their best shot right there. And that window's closed now, and you kind of have to rebuild right now. You have to restart. You have to rehash a few positions. And what you're going to see is just sloppy play in the preseason, and you're going to see growing pains, and like, yeah, and you just got to kind of have to wait and see what happens in like a few years, and maybe it doesn't pan out again. You know what? Because like that, these things are imperfect. That's just how football goes. Like sometimes you just don't get your build right. If everyone got their build right, everyone would be winning the Super Bowl. And instead we have like, this league has the worst parity of any sports league out there in North America.
It's true. It's very true. Just be happy that there is apparently somebody in position right now that, you know, is drafting the right players to start their rebuild. You know, Jeremy mentioned we had 10 draft picks. Five of them were offensive linemen or defensive linemen. you know, the first three picks were all linemen, you know, offensive and defensive respectively. But, you know, just know that it's going to take time. You know, I'm not expecting, you know,
like this could be worse. Anything. This could be a lot worse. This could be like San Francisco, where like ownership has shown like they just don't give a damn and they're just ready to bilk Silicon Valley dipshits out of their money. Or it could be like San Diego.
We could be the Chicago Bears.
It could always be worse.
Like, look at the situation with San Diego, who decided we're going to just completely sabotage our entire team because we didn't want to pay a guy for a potential fourth year and just a couple million. That's all it would have been.
We could be the
skin flints.
We could be the Los Angeles Rams, formerly known as the St. Louis Rams, just a little over a year ago.
79 bullshit.
All right, you guys want to take a break? We should we've been doing this good 40 some minutes. We should probably take a break and do your do the mailbag. What do you guys think? Anything else we need to do from preseason game 3, or can we put this one to bed?
I'm surprised we talked that long about it.
Put it to bed. Let's put it in the crawl space.
Let's put one between the eyes.
Ooh.
Same thing.
Zero tolerance. I'm just firing off a warning shot.
That sound right there, taken liberally from public broadcasting, indicates it is time for the Pride of Detroit mailbag. World famous for questions like this, which we get to. But you can ask anything you want to us, literally anything. Like this question here from Derek at Cronwall from Twitter. Isn't cereal just a cold breakfast soup?
If it is, then I love cold breakfast soup. What's your guys' favorite cold breakfast soup?
Apple Jacks or Frosted Flakes?
Apple Jacks are damn good.
Pick one.
Yeah.
Apple Jacks.
Gotta be the Apple Jacks. I don't get in the sugary stuff anymore. I like the honey bunches of oats with like almonds, but
old person cereal. That's fine.
No, you know what it was.
Your tastes have just matured and developed.
No, not really. Because I grew up loving Raisin Bran because I loved all those raisins. But I've learned that. Like, I need an upscale version of Raisin Bran. I need something that, like, the flakes aren't going to turn into mush within 2 seconds.
I thought you meant you needed, like, prunes instead of raisins. Or, like, dates.
I do like dates. Or, like,
very specific grapes chosen from a very specific region in France.
I want artisanal Raisin Bran.
Jeremy, favorite cold breakfast soup?
God, that's really hard to...
This is kind of a boring answer, but like apple cinnamon Cheerios are really good.
That's Apple Jacks.
It's not, though. It's not. It's better than Apple Jacks.
Hey!
Hot takes coming in.
I like how none of us had like chocolate cereals. I don't know. When I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to eat like that cookies cereal thing. So
that's a gimmick and it sucks. Yeah. Cocoa Krispies. If you're going chocolate cereal, Cocoa Krispies is the best above the rest.
Oh, no. I actually liked Cocoa Krispies. What was that like Fred Flintstone one?
Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah. Cocoa Pebbles is pretty good too.
I'm not one to turn down Cocoa Pebbles or even Cookie Crisp.
Oh God. My top two, Golden Grahams.
Okay. Now you're talking my language.
And Cap'n Crunch with berries.
I never got Oops All Berries.
Why did they never make, you know, I was eating a bowl. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
No, I just remember the goat. I just remember the goat, then I'll let you go to that. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Shut the rest of it down.
It's good, but it's not my favorite anymore.
I still love Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Back when I was like 7 and I was like, you know, way overweight, like I loved Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but
there's just a point where it's like too crunchy at first and then it's perfect and then it gets too soggy.
That's the way with all cereal.
It just messes with my emotions, man.
Yeah. Well, that's like the sugar, not the sogginess.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch was like the go-to, oops, I forgot to eat dinner in college. Let's just run down to the dorms and get a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Hell yeah.
I was going to say, though, they've done the Oops All Berries. I was eating a bowl of Lucky Charms the other day. Why have they never done an Oops All Marshmallows?
Who wants to eat, like, a chalky consistency cold breakfast soup?
Man, Jeremy, you got some. We sent this from Jeremy's personal Twitter account. We got some really good ones. We'll get back to those in a second. We should probably take some actual Lions questions first. Jack H, is the curse of Bobby Lane still alive and well?
God, can we get back to the cereal questions?
Okay, let me get another question. By the way, yes, it is. No, it's not. I love curses. I don't think the Bobby Lane curse is that good. Next question.
How is that a curse? Like, you had a good quarterback and you haven't had a good quarterback since.
Well, I guess the history of that particular curse is that Bobby Lane said that the Lions would not win a championship for another 50 years or something close to that. But that date has passed now. So it's.
That was like 2009,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. 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 So it doesn't, like, whatever his curse is, it should have passed. It's just, you know, it's ineptitude. It's
God, all it you know, is. The one. The one person I wish I could ask that question to, Miss Cleo.
Oh, ooh. Rest in peace. I thought you were going to say hurrah. I thought you were going to agree with Alice Rompe.
It's the next question.
Okay, next question. We're going to rapid fire here. Let's see here. Okay, actual Lions question. Most of us believe Glasgow will be the starter at some point this season. Do you think Joe Dahl might also become a starter? And who's more likely to get replaced by him, Tomlinson or Warford?
Oh, absolutely Tomlinson. Joe Dahl is a left guard through and through. But I would say that Joe Dahl has a better chance of overtaking Lakin Tomlinson than Glasgow does over Swanson this year.
Oh, interesting. Yep.
I think I might agree with you.
Swanson's look solid.
On that. I feel like the first guard off the bench is going to be Jeff Shorts. I know I've kind of been hammering this point all offseason, but I don't know. And this is all just basically based on his reputation more so than anything I've seen this offseason. And I mean, I don't think he's played in the past two, maybe even, has he played in any of the preseason games? Maybe the first one, but he's battling through an injury right now too. And, you know, he actually could potentially be a cut. I could be completely wrong on that, but I don't know. I feel like the guy's got the most experience out there. So if someone is struggling on the offensive line, you want to put a wily vet in there instead of a rookie.
Next question. Big haircut. Not really a question so much as a demand that Andrew Cotto start using his Twitter more.
Agreed.
Yeah, he doesn't use it at all. He just uses it to lurk. And that's fine because, you know, every man has needs, but
everyone loves his breakdown articles, including us. And we know he's listening right now. So get on Twitter, man.
He listens to every one of these things religiously.
He does.
His Travis Swanson article is really good.
Yeah, go read that right now. Finish this podcast and then go read it.
Yeah, we're talking about Travis Swanson getting replaced. He played really well last game.
If you love diagrams and GIFs, Andrew Cotto is where you need to be. On POD.
All right, next question.
Somebody
by
stop me.
Srigrigi. Srigrigi. Are any of you guys conspiracy theorists, or is that a label that others might apply to some of your beliefs? And feel free to take that in the broadest sense possible. So, like, are you conspiracy theorists about the Lions, or are you conspiracy theorists about stuff like Bigfoot, UFOs, like anything at all?
I am not a truther, and I'm not a football conspiracy theorist.
I'm not either. I'm gullible, and I respect authority. I'm lame.
You're square. I believe that that envelope for Patrick Ewing was frozen so that the Knicks would get him as the first round pick in the as the first overall pick from the first NBA lottery. And,
makes sense.
And I think
that
about 50% of the U.S. government is controlled by lizard people. Actually, more than 50%. More than 50%. If you're listening right now, you're probably a lizard person.
Ryan?
I have my own like skepticism about whether or not we landed on the moon in the 60s, but I don't know. That's the only thing that I'm like super like I don't know about jet fuel melting steel beams and all that stuff.
Oh, I'm not say
buying
anything.
I'm not buying into all that, but like
JFK?
Let's just that was Matt Stafford. So
he was on the grassy knoll.
You can see him in the Zapruder. It's like
that was maybe the only cross section we could get to lions and conspiracy theories. Thank you, Michael Bennett.
Thank you so much. So no one in here believing chemtrails, though. That's good. Or that the Earth is flat. That's making a comeback in a big way. People thinking that the Earth is flat. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, just have a conversation with my in-laws. And
God.
Oh, yes.
All right, let's go back to some of these other questions from Twitter. This is getting to be a good mailbag. I was kind of worried when we first put this out.
Let's go back to what I got one Lions one that's kind of interesting.
Sure, let's do that. Because otherwise I'm going to read one about Harambe here.
Well, the Lions made a trade today. We didn't talk about it at all. They traded for an offensive lineman from the 49ers, Brandon Thomas. They traded away Jeremy Curley. This question from Will Boat 75 asks it simply, is Brandon Thomas going to make the roster?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think the cards are definitely stacked against him. He has a week to prove that he deserves a spot, but
I mean, there's obviously no way that he's getting cut on Tuesday because they're going to want to take a longer look at him. But
he's never really started for San Francisco. I know he had an ACL tear like before the draft.
I had a couple guys from the Niners fandom kind of reach out to me, including David Fucillo, the guy from Niners Nation. Basically, this guy, there was a lot of hope for him. He was a high draft pick until he tore his ACL a month before the draft. Then he dropped to the third round. Since then, he hasn't been able to come back and make his way back. He had a high ankle sprain, I think, in last year, and he wasn't even making active rosters. So he was pretty much going to be a cut this year by the Niners, just like I think Jeremy Curley was going to be by the Lions. So it's whatever happens, it's probably going to be an even trade, and it's probably going to result in both teams not getting much from these guys. But considering all the injuries the Lions are having on the offensive line, you know, he could sneak into that final 53 if let's say Ola doesn't get better or
Schwartz is still hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see.
All right, I want to read this question. This is from Jack on Twitter. What can the NFL do to make trading during the season a reasonable thing like it is in all other major sports?
They can't.
You're right. I don't think you can. It's not like baseball where it's like it's the same game. Otherwise, you just come in and plug and play, or even basketball where you get acclimated to the system pretty quickly. Like in the NFL, it's like this is the system I've been training with the whole year, practicing with these guys, getting the system ready. And now all of a sudden I'm going to relearn everything within like a week or so from midseason trade. It just doesn't work out that well.
And I think it doesn't work out so well because, I mean, even if you see any midseason trades, like what midseason trades really go on to make any sort of impact?
Well, that's what I think he means is like, Jack, imagining he wants to see like starting quarterbacks traded or something.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be wild?
Or like starting wide receivers. Yeah, he wants to see like big names, like big blockbuster trades. And it just doesn't happen during NFL seasons. It just doesn't. Let's see here. Heart of a Lions fan. If Jones has 1,000 yards this year, will people finally stop bagging on Stafford?
Nope.
Alex Kissling, are chips on a sandwich considered a condiment?
No, but God, I love chips on a sandwich.
We should probably have a Yinzer in here, because that's like a Yinzer thing. Not chips on a sandwich, but they put like fries on their burgers.
You guys ever had like a chip burger?
No.
Oh, that's good. Like put chips on your burger.
I was assuming that a chip burger was chips on a burger.
What if the bread's made out of potato chips?
What?
What?
That's stupid. It doesn't absorb any of the juice from the meat and it breaks immediately.
Let me tell you something though. If you go to Jimmy John's and you're getting a sub,
of like a Doritos Locos Taco.
Why are you buying food from Taco Bell? Be a better person. Like, the thing is, what I was trying to say was, if you go to Jimmy John's and you order a sub and you don't get chips with it, you're doing it wrong. And if you do order chips and you're eating them separately from your sub, you're still doing it wrong. You need to crush those up with your fist. You need to pour them on your sub, and you need to consume as is.
I agree with you, but how is that not a condiment?
Actually, hold up. I just remembered, like, back when I was, like, extremely poor, like, a lot more poor than I am, and I only have, like, 4 digits in my checking account right now, but I was putting, like, Fritos on a sandwich at one point.
Just to give it,
like,
some crunch.
I didn't like turkey on its own, so I do, like, cheese, turkey, and then I like added like a spicy, like a spicy sauce to it, and then some Doritos.
I think Ryan's totally doing trash. His research right now on whether chips are a condiment.
Hold on, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to fire back about. Hold on, chips would not be considered a condiment just by putting them on a sandwich, because I think in general, aren't condiments like liquid form?
Who knows?
Chips would be a topping. Chips would be a topping, or like,
you would like relish, like more of like a seasoning.
Yeah, condiment would be like mayo, ketchup, relish. Yeah,
but relish is a solid in a way.
Relish has a liquid component to it, though. But it does say a condiment is a substance such as salt or ketchup that is used to add flavor to food. So. Yes,
but you're not
chips.
Hold on, you're not adding
fucking condiment.
You're not adding chips to get the flavor out of it. You're adding flavor to it. Getting the texture out of it. That's all you want.
Well, that's all I want. I mean, I don't really care too much about the salt and vinegar taste that it's adding to my Jimmy John's sub, but I am adding a flavor to it technically.
Next question:
hot dogs or sandwiches? Hold on. What if you put chips on a hot dog?
Oh my god.
A hot dog, not a hot dog sandwich, right?
Same thing.
Well, would that be adding condiments to a sandwich? Because hot dogs.
Jamie Johnson wants to ask: do you think that we should have drafted a cornerback and a tight end
instead of a long snapper in the 6th round that we're going to cut?
I think people would have gone apeshit if we drafted a tight end.
No, you were set on that. First round, too. Alex, you can talk to this as being a draft guy. Like, there were no good corners at the position the Lions drafted at.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Oh, for the love of God.
I was staring off into space right there.
I was talking about cornerbacks. There were no good cornerbacks where the Lions drafted last year.
Eli Apple was gone. Jalen Ramsey was gone.
I think William Jackson was gone at that point too. I think so too. Like
I don't remember.
Wasn't really any good cornerbacks were worth that first round pick.
But I mean, these positions didn't seem like they were big needs. And honestly, a cornerback, I'm still not sure it was a big. We have our starters.
Yeah,
there.
And tight end.
Who was going to predict that we were going to have Eric Ebron get injured? Obviously, we knew about Brandon Pettigrew, but Tim Wright tore his ACL in OTAs. Like, we lost the 3 top guys, and we still don't know. Brandon Pettigrew could potentially even be back before the regular season. I think he's probably going to stay on the PUP, but we don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, all that junk.
Next question, going back to the comments. This is in reference to our Big 5-0. Where do y'all think you'll be at that age? He's talking about 50. Going in
ambitious crowd.
I'll probably be dead.
I don't know what I'm gonna do tomorrow after I get out of work. Seriously, so I don't know where I'm gonna be at 50.
Don't ask any millennial where they're gonna be at 50, man. We don't know. We're trying to make money. We're trying to live. Have you guys noticed like this massive influx of like millennial things? Like, why aren't millennials buying this? Why aren't millennials buying that? Millennials are ruining this. It's like our generation is just we're dealing with a lot of shit out here, man.
I don't know. As a millennial, I still think that at 50 I'm gonna be in a flying car. That's what was basically promised to me, I think, at some point.
That and a hoverboard.
In some Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
We'll probably just be recording this podcast from like a really, really high-tech studio.
Next question. Beast F Ball. Is Harambe better than Jake Rudock?
I guess we'll never know.
His career was cut so short.
He wasn't even given a chance. Really? Harambe could probably be a great third string quarterback if he was given the chance.
Yeah.
He came from a good lineage of just, you know, NFL quarterbacks. He had incredible arm strength.
I was gonna say his family was well enough to do to put him into quarterback camp.
I think going to the University of Cincinnati was probably like you could have probably gone to some better places, but I mean it's still a good school. But
that's
but,
fine.
You know,
look where Carson Wentz came from.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which school you go to. Harambe.
I was gonna let you guys write out that bit for as long as you wanted to.
You want to do the honors then? Kill us off finally, just like Harambe.
No, I'm saying you guys should be running free.
Like Harambe.
Yeah, exactly.
I do miss him. We all miss Harambe.
Do we have any more questions?
We've got a couple more questions, but I think we should end it right there.
No. I want more questions.
Okay, real questions or
we're going into overtime.
Okay, fine.
Whatever Jeremy got, because Jeremy got good questions.
I'm reading from them. Sank wants to know who's going to be the surprise cut.
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
There were some surprise cuts. I don't know. I think maybe Jeff Schwartz could be a surprise cut.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a surprise to one of our crew, but...
Yeah.
Actually, I'm off the Jeff Schwartz thing, too.
You're out on him.
I won't say why. We'd get into a thorny situation if I said why.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, let's stay away from that.
If I had to pick one, maybe TJ Jones. Like, I don't have a guy like it's a surprise because I wouldn't normally pick it, and I'm not going to pick TJ Jones to actually get cut. But that could be a surprise cut.
Do you think that happen? Do either of you think that Alex Carter could be a surprise cut? Or do you think that wouldn't be much of a surprise?
I mean, we've been
point?
Stumping for him, and I think a lot of us stumping for him is basically it's like, yeah, there's a good reality that he might get cut. So, yeah, I think he could get cut.
Yeah, he's been a bubble guy the entire – basically my opinion on Alex Carter throughout the entire offseason has been he's been on the bubble, but I'm leaning yes, he's in. So it would be a mild surprise.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. A couple more questions here. We'll get out of here. Let's see. Run low fast. Any drink suggestions? So this was talking about, I think a little bit ago, we were talking about our drinks. I am going to have that recipe before game number one of the regular season for the blue
Honolulu blue Kool-Aid.
Yeah. My blue Kool-Aid. We're going to have that. But any other drink suggestions? What was that beer you were just drinking, Ryan?
Backwoods Bastard.
How do you like it?
It's great. It's ale aged in oak bourbon barrels. I'm not that big of a beer snob.
This is Founders.
Founders. Expect lovely warm smells of single malt scotch, oaky bourbon barrels, smoked sweet caramel, and roasted malts. Some dark fruit and earth spice. I enjoy it. It's nice. It's a nice beer, but it's only available in like limited quantities during the fall.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. I love a lot of good beers. Jeremy, what have you been drinking lately?
I haven't really been drinking that much because, like, I was at a buddy's place yesterday during the game, and he put a Newcastle in front of me, and it sat there undrank for the entire game.
I don't like Newcastle, so...
I love Newcastle. I get so caught up in the game and writing and tweeting and Facebooking. It's just like... I need to save that for, like, 3 hours when we're out of the woods, finally, from, like, the post-game afterglow. And then I'll join you in a drink. But I don't really have something I'm drinking right now. I'm still exploring.
You know what I need to start doing more of is I need to get back and drinking more whiskey sour. Over, I think, what was it, earlier in the year, one of my friends was making a bunch of these frozen whiskey sours. Using some like tea packets and they kind of made their own sour mix. They didn't really use like regular sour stuff. They kind of made their own sour mix between like tea packets and lemon juice and everything. And yeah, it was really good. I like that. I can't think of too many beers. I think the last beer I had was like one of those Leinenkugel summer shandies, though. I almost reached for one of those. There's one of like 50 dogs. Jeremy's watching. Okay, Ryan, let's continue this with just you and me real quick. My question to you, because you seem to be a good drinker like me. Have you done any of these like hard root beers or hard orange sodas or anything like that? Because I almost had a chance to have one the other night and I just made a hard pass on it.
You passed on it. I have. I've partaken in a couple of the hard root beers. The Not Your Father's is pretty good. The Coney Island is another solid choice.
This is like an orange soda, though. So I was.
Was it the Henry's?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I personally have never had it, but I know some others that have partaken in the Henry's orange soda, the hard orange soda, and they enjoyed it. So.
All right, I'll have to try it next time. I just look at that thing and I just think like. This just feels like it's going to be another dressed up like Mike's Hard Lemonade or something.
And you know what? There's an element to that because it is a pretty sweet drink.
I mean, it's just a malt beverage. It's what. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally agree.
So, all right, let's do one more question. We'll get out of here. I know we're in overtime, like Brian has said, but we lost Alex along the way, in case you haven't noticed. But
that's how long we've gone. We've lost Alex.
Yeah.
He's with Harambe now.
Oh, God.
He's with someone else. You know who else?
John Cena!
What do those dogs eat, Jeremy? What do they eat?
These, like, just like these beef patties. Defrosted raw beef patties.
Really? They don't do like those weird organic shit things?
Well, that, I mean, it is like organic beef and all that shit. But
no, but it's like that vegetables plus, and shit? Or?
It's that plus pumpkin puree plus...
Jesus.
Goat milk yogurt and apple cinnamon vinegar.
Or those
apple,
dogs apple eat better than vinegar. I do. Yeah. They eat better than my family does.
I've had a ham and cheese sandwich today.
Was it out of their people?
No, they don't have that shit in here. They don't have any grain for people in this entire fucking
white
house.
People.